is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Leland Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I have no clue what it is that you're doing today. I believe you are getting ready for the Monstercade, the Motorcade, the Mastercade, and all of the other cades that are happening out there today. But whatever you are doing, whether it is for the UDP, the UCP, the UMP, the PLP, whichever P you decide to pee today, make sure you wash your hands and wear your mask, most importantly. I'm going to open the phone lines today. I have some things that I want to talk about. I see Solo is at it again. I also want to talk about the fact that the former prime minister has basically said that, you know, these, all of the entire goings-on surrounding COVID-19 are nothing more than super spreader events. What are the consequences of that going to be? I also want to know, I hear a lot of the talk going around about what will be the future of the orange economy, the blue economy, and the green economy. But I'll tell you what, today is the last day before poll day, right? And I want to hear what's going to happen tomorrow. What is going to be the plan tomorrow for the Lucayan Hotel? I want to know tomorrow, what is going to be the plan since September 16th actually starts off the peak of the hurricane season? What is the plan for that? How do we get out or around hurricanes in the event they come, which undoubtedly they will? There are just some small things that I want to know. I want to know, where are we with the South Beach pools? I saw my good friend Jeffrey Lloyd and at the time the Minister Lanisha Roll down there cutting ribbons, etc., etc. But I don't see any usefulness of the pool going on down there. As a matter of fact, there is even very little security down there at the pools. And so the question becomes, what have we done about rectifying the issue down there at the pools in South Beach? Because that still matters a whole great deal to the people of South Beach. I've heard no talk of it on either side of the divide. What's going to happen tomorrow with the mortgage crisis, right? What is the plan for the mortgage crisis going forward? Is any government prepared to say that? And I know a lot of the lending institutions are now handing out moratoriums and giving people deferral periods. But can any of you, as the next coming in administration, say or suggest that, listen, January 2022, we will reduce the prime rate to an irreducible minimum in an attempt to help people catch up with mortgage payments, help people catch up with all of the other loans that they would have had, credit card debts, etc. This is going to be in an attempt to provide immediate relief, all right? I hear the long-term plans. I know what is in the blueprint for the Progressive Liberal Party. I have not had as deep an opportunity to read the FNM's manifesto, and that's because the PLP got me their book first. I just happened to have been reading theirs and haven't completely read it before I could get to the FNM's manifesto, all right? Needless to say, I am an eye for Tanya FNM, so naturally the FNM takes off in my head with a 10% lead. It's like being a manger skin girl. Automatically, you get 10 points, right? And if you're brown, and if your eyes brown, 12 points, okay? That's an automatic standard of measurement. Now, outside of that, I want you all to hear what's been going on. What has been the commentary by both the former Prime Minister, Perry Gladstone Christie, and then by Duane Sands, all right, who is the former Minister of Health. And then to think about what it means, because I recommended in August of last year that we ought to have made Exuma the COVID center for the Bahamas. The Bahamas government owns planes, we own boats. We ought to have created some sort of a plan where you go to Exuma, there you will meet staff. That staff will do nothing but cater to COVID patients. You will be flown out of the capital. Of course, it's a 20-minute flight. We will make a quarantine, some sort of ambulance service that only quarantine people can go in. All of the people that work around that facility will be like they're in a hyperbolic chamber. So when it is your time to come back from Exuma or to switch you out or to rotate the detachment, you go into quarantine for 2 weeks and then we fly you back to Nassau once we're sure that you're suitable. But we would facilitate it with the Emerald Bay Resort that is unoccupied at the time. We will house the police officers there. We will house the Defense Force officers there. We will house the necessary road traffic officers there. We will house the senior consulting doctors there. We will house the junior doctors there. We will house the nurses there. And in the other wing, because it's two wings of the hotel, we will house recovering patients. There will be one exception. We will fly you there, pay for your room and board and your meals, which is what we would pay for in any event if you were in the hospital. You will have to pay for your way back home. It is a one-way ticket from Exuma. I think about the economy that it will stir up. I hear the people of Exuma with their concerns. I again maintain it's only 2,800 of them. It is far easier for the police to police 2,800 people than it is for them to police 287,000 people. What is the plan tomorrow morning? Will people still be, well, not tomorrow morning, but Friday morning, will people still be underneath a tent that could possibly blow into the ocean, gasping for air? I don't really care about the long-term plans for right now. There is enough crisis going on right now for me to need somebody with the wherewithal mentally not to just masturbate with these intellectual concepts, but to give me some workable plans for the short term. That is what I desire. And that is what I want to talk about today. You know, I mean, these manifestos and blueprints and all kind of other prints are masterfully put together. Sure. Are masterfully put together. But do they address my now? Do they address the thing that is most pressing to me as a Bahamian today? All right. I know the government assistance is still going on from National Insurance. What will happen to that on Friday? I know there is still the feeding program that is going on. How are we going to restructure that on Friday? I need somebody to tell me what is it that they hope, what is it that they wish, what are some of the ideas they need to see in order to be sure that the country is taking off in the right direction in the shortest possible time once all of the hoo-ha of politics is done. I will tell you, as I have been to Abaco just this weekend, you know, I was stuck there on Monday, the curfew is strangling the economy of Abaco. The economy of Abaco could be far more robust. The economy of Abaco could be far more thriving. The development of Abaco could be further along ahead if we grew the kahunas, if we decided to put in place the necessary manpower for the fight against COVID, and we decided to tear the lid off of the curfew down there in Abaco. Because in my estimation, it serves no great purpose at this time. It does nothing more than put the economy of Abaco into a sleeper hole. That is where I stand on it. And then I think at some point in this show, I'm supposed to have with me a regular guy. I want to talk to John Q. Public so that he can tell me what are some of the challenges they have when they go into their communities among themselves and some of the things political parties are not addressing. I'm not interested in the people that are waving pom-poms today, nor am I interested in the people that are wearing hat and colors and t-shirts. I want to talk about regular people and the regular problems they are having in this crisis. Do we have the clip from the former prime minister? Let's go to the clip from the former prime minister and hear what he had to say. And then after that, the former minister of health, and let's hear what he had to say. And let us consider how we think about all of this as we get ready today at 2 o'clock to go on the Monster Arcade. What will Friday look like? That is the question we're asking here today.
All political parties acted irresponsibly during the campaign season.
Across the board, I believe that we have thrown caution to the wind, and that's FNM, PLP, and all of the other parties. We have all acted at some point in time less than ideally with regards to COVID safety.
Healthcare professionals have condemned campaigning activities and the decision to hold an election during the pandemic. In recent weeks, COVID-19 hospitalizations have hit record numbers. San said he shares the opinion of other health professionals who warn that COVID numbers could spike as a result of election campaigning.
The number of people required to fight COVID is diminishing, and yet COVID is raging on. We don't know, exactly where this thing is headed, but it doesn't look very good right now.
As the FNM's candidate for Elizabeth, San said he has to campaign, but stressed the need to be responsible.
It is necessary for me to make my case to the people of Elizabeth. And so at this point, it would be unreasonable as a candidate to not campaign. What you need to do is to do it safely, to ensure that anybody associated with you is acting responsibly, and that you are not a part of a super spreader team. That's as good as you can do.
Reporting for Our News, I'm Berthany McDermott.
And so you hear the Minister of State, the Minister of, why do I keep calling him the Minister of State? The former Minister of Health, talking about exactly, you know, what is going to be the outcome of the end results of campaigning, right? We know this. We knew this was going to be the case. It's been the case in America. It's been the case in Jamaica. It's been the case in Barbados. And Barbados only had a by-election and they had an uptick in COVID afterwards. So, I mean, we know that this is the problem, all right? Yet, in the thick of things, the prime minister opted to call an election. Let's hear from the former prime minister. We've heard from the former minister of health. Let's hear from the prime minister with regards to his thoughts surrounding the COVID election call.
Constitutional powers to call an election in the middle of a pandemic, the logical conclusion would be that he's running the risk of a super spread campaign. In other words, all areas of the campaign would cause there to be an increase in the amount of people affected.
Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis called a snap election during the country's worst surge of COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. Put bluntly, Christie says Dr. Minnis is courting disaster.
It is really a disastrous decision to do that. But under our Constitution, he has the right to call it when he thinks it's best for him. And he thought it was best for him. The people of the Bahamas, again, will respond. And the results will say whether or not they approve of what he's done.
The former PLP leader made the comments moments after he cast his vote in the advanced poll at Gambier Primary School. He said despite the pandemic, Bahamians should get out and vote. PLP leader Philip Rafe Davis also cast his vote at the Western New Providence School and encouraged Bahamians to exercise their constitutional right.
Those who are registered, to please come out and vote. Let us make up for those who are unable to and who wish to, but for the snap calling of the election. What I say to people who want to vote in the pandemic, just follow the COVID protocols. Wear your mask, sanitize your hands, and just stay safely distanced from other voters. Once you engage in that process, you have minimized your risk of being infected by COVID.
For those who did cast their votes at Gambier primary, like former Governor General Dame Marguerite Pinley, former PLP Cabinet Minister George Smith, current Appenham St. Anne's MP Brent Simonette, and others, they say the COVID-19 protocols were in place.
Do you feel safe voting in a pandemic?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I do. And I hope that everyone will come, all of those who have been vaccinated will come and make the X for freedom.
And I feel no problem, no difficulty whatsoever with sticking my finger in the inkwell or any COVID issues. I think the proper protocols were followed.
I followed the advice of the professionals, the doctors.
When people needed help, we stepped up.
And so there you have it. The whole fanfare appears to be around or surrounding whether or not people will go to the polls, whether or not people will cast their votes, whether or not people will feel safe. The issue for me is what will be some of the issues that we need to deal with the very next day. I see I have phone calls on the line. Let me take those calls and then I introduce my guest. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hello, good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
You're on.
I'm the one on for it?
You're on, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Pleasant day. I actually saw you on a program last night. Mm-hmm. Very well done, well executed with your friends.
Thank you.
You know what I'm talking about, that program on all
thank
the
you.
TV.
Mm-hmm.
And well done. There was some discussion, I think, an announcement was made last night within your program, and I got it in the newscast and ran it a while ago, regarding the secrecy of ballots and the taking of a number at the back and the front and so on.
Mm-hmm.
What's the clarification on that?
Let me see if I understand the question. You are concerned about the secrecy of your ballot?
Yeah. They were saying what is required to be written in the ballot.
Uh-huh.
Become the first number or something like that.
I don't understand the question you're trying to ask me. I'm not exactly sure what you're asking. Nothing should go on the ballot except for the mark and the position of the candidate of your choice. I don't know anything else that goes on the ballot. I mean, I've only done it 3 times. How many times have I done it? 3? Yeah, I don't know anything else that goes on the ballot. I don't know how they identify ballots. I know they do in courts, but that is outside of my scope of knowledge. Let's take this another one. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? Not there. Let's go to the break. When I get back from the break, the phone lines are open. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can call me on those. You can text me on 422-4796. I see somebody calling the text line. One of these days, I'm going to answer this phone, and I'm going to put you live on air because I don't understand, after 6 years, why you still call the text line. I'm never going to answer it. But one day, just for you, I'm going to answer it. Just to see what is it that is pressing on your heart that you'd like to say to me. All right? Let's go to the break. Don't move. It's Neven Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm Unleashed on your radio. We'll be right back after the break.
If all my party has offended you, I apologize. I apologize on behalf of myself and behalf of my party.
Didn't you say that Hegel was the people's time?
Hey, hey.
You said you wasn't going up on the tax, but you lied.
Lie like fish drink water.
Now you on the stage saying that you apologize. No way. Have a go in Freeport, still waiting on the money they donate. It's too late to apologize. It's too late. It's too late to apologize. Go that way.
You just remember.
Hello, Bahamas. My name is Dr. Dwayne Sands. I was born and raised in Centerville, in the heart of the valley, Nassau, Bahamas. I'm a proud Bahamian. I've been fortunate to represent the great people of Elizabeth for the last 5 years. It has always been my dream to serve my country, and I have been involved in the political process on the front line since 2009. I am very, very proud of the support of my family who have been with me from the beginning and who are still with me to this day. In particular, my wife, Larika, and all of my children. And actually, there's quite a few of them. I'm actually a cardiovascular surgeon. What that means is I take on the sickest people with the biggest problems every day. And so for me, the political process to deal with the challenges facing our country is pretty much par for the course. It's what I do every day. I am happy to be a part of the great team of the Free National Movement under the leadership of Dr. Hubert Minnis. We are indeed Elizabeth Strong.
This has been a paid political announcement by the FNM candidate for Elizabeth.
COVID-19. Do not panic. Be prepared. Some persons may get worried and feel stressed whenever there's an outbreak of diseases like COVID-19. Do not panic. It is better to be informed and prepared. Talk to a healthcare professional about your concerns. Make a plan for how you will keep your home and workspace clean and disinfected. Practice proper hygiene and preventative actions such as proper hand washing and coughing and sneezing etiquette. Stay informed about local COVID-19 updates from trusted and reliable sources.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This has been a paid political announcement by the independent candidate for Pine Ridge.
Like fish drink water.
Now you understand, saying that you apologize. No way. Have a go in Freeport, still waiting on the money they donate. It's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Thank you for staying with me. Welcome back. It's Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio. That means I'm Unleashed on your radio, and that means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. Now, you oftentimes hear me talk about the people that, you know, are regular people, regular everyday people that live in regular everyday conditions. And oftentimes you often hear me talk about people like Pookie and Blacks them, right? Well, here I have with me somebody that is, for all intents and purposes, as regular a guy as regular guys come, all right? He's known to many people as Chili. And I thought to myself, as we approach the election season, we have these intellectual arguments where we talk all sorts of things, blue and green and red and orange and purple and black economies, right? And I thought to myself, we always allow people who have political acumen to make the case as to why they will be voting or not voting. And so I wanted to talk to someone who was considering regular things when they go to the poll and what it is that matters to them when they go to the polls. And so he's with me this morning. We're going to talk about that. Chili, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Miller. How you doing?
All is well. So you have seen what's been going on in the last 4 weeks. Election season is upon us. Tomorrow is election day. What are some of the things that concern you as we move towards the poll?
Well, as we move towards the poll, Mr. Miller, I would say that I'm sort of heartbroken due to the fact that we just had our independence.
Mm-hmm.
And as we drove around the Bahamas, we were not able to have a big motorcade or you know, to celebrate our independence due to COVID and what have you. But now here we have what I would call, me personally, a fashion show.
Right.
Because here it is now, you have people, I talk about their cars are lined off with flags, whether it's red, yellow, or green, or what have you, all kind of banners and what have you. But so it makes me want to wonder, what do you appreciate more?
Yeah.
You appreciate the independence of your country, or are you just about the music and the food and the rum and the good time?
But what about the people that say, you know, Chile, this is the one opportunity where I get a chance to see the man that will represent me. This is my one opportunity to make sure, you know, he know who I is. You know, you being like me, a fella from the inner city, understand the value of street credibility. So I have to make sure that he understand that through this block, it's me who run the place. And that's how me and my boys get eat. What do you say to the fellow who says, man, I only stay in close because I need to make sure when the money fall down, it come this way?
Yeah, but okay, if you want to do that, this is my thing about what's going on now. Okay, you have young people and you have your grandparents and what have you. Mm-hmm. To the young people, I would say this to you, of the 242, we need to wake up. Reason being is because, listen, we can't follow our grammy and our grandpa footsteps no more.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being, you give your grammy an iPhone 12, and she goes into that. She probably have a hard time trying to figure out how to operate the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But you give it to a 2-year-old who can't even say, I won't pee. They'll be laying down in the bed. They'll be scrolling back and forth.
Yeah.
So it's time for change. You know, you can't follow a man that comes to you through the time of election now and comes to your doorstep. Hey, my name is so-and-so and I'm running for this constituency and this is that and all that. But brother, when you come to my door, do you know my heartaches?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know my struggle? Do you know what it means to be in this constituency when current is off, when it's hurricane, I had to walk through flood, I had to be told water from the pump? Some of these MPs don't have the foggiest idea about what is going on in these constituencies, but yet still they're here, bright and bold, and they want to say, hey, I want to run for you, I want to represent you. What are you representing when you live probably Old Vinton, over the bridge, or Old Life at Key?
So what about the people that say, listen, I'm in my community every day, right? You have the Fred Mitchells, right? And I tell people, love him or hate him, like Fred Mitchell is not my favorite guy. But love him or hate him, you know, Fred is going to be in the community of Fox Hill. Fred Mitchell will say, or people like Fred Mitchell will say, well, you don't mean me because I'm there as often as I could be there. I'm when I say that I speak on behalf of the people, I believe that I hear a good cross-section of views from people in my community while I'm sitting underneath the big tamarind tree or the big cotton tree in Fox Hill. I think I hear a good cross-section of the views from my constituencies when I'm keeping regular constituency hours. I think I hear a good cross-section of the viewers when I go in for the back-to-school extravaganza or when I go in for the Mother's Day extravaganza or the Father's Day extravaganza. My people talk to me. I'm accessible. They got my number. What else they want from me?
Well, with that being said, that's something that you probably could respect more.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Because like I tell this to a lot of people, when you vote in these people, These are MPs, these candidates, when you vote them in, here it is now that you guys have their contacts, you're eligible to reach them now, you know? And it saddens to me that when at the end of the day, when they've already been elected, when they're already in power, yes, they become busy to do their tasks in the House of Assembly. Yes, they are busy that they have a family at home. But keep in mind, now that you are elected the MP for my constituency, I'm a part of your family.
Right.
You have to make time for me.
Right.
You have to make time to hear our cries.
5,400 of y'all, though, and one of me. I mean, you know, I'm trying to see if the expectation from the average voter on the ground is one that's even possible. I mean, can this one man reach 5,600 people?
If you can reach them, make an effort.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of MPs in my time of actually seeing PLP in power, FNM in power, which and I really am, I'm really, really tired of this back and forth, ping, 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 because it's like a game, you know? You cry when PLP was in power, so this is why here now stands FNM. Mm-hmm. But now we're still crying again. So what is that telling us?
Mm.
What is that really telling us as behemoths? We really need to wake up. Not saying that I'm directing anybody to go vote for DNA or these other parties, but I'm just saying that people, you really need to wake up to the fact that do not elect these people that come to your doorstep just because they're here now, they're offering you food, music, and a good time. Because when the party is over, you still have to go back home to your heartache, you're being broke, your cupboard being empty, and your light bill and your water bill.
Mm-hmm.
Every man has to go there and make life for themselves. But if you're going to put these people in power to represent you, they should be able to make life a little bit easier for you when you elect them.
Mm. So what do you think are some of the greatest challenges or some of the greatest things people will be facing after election day. Like when the pom-poms have all popped and the t-shirts are all faded and the hats all blow off the back of trucks, what do you think are some of the things that will still matter to the regular guy, Joe Public?
Well, me personally, you know, I think I speak on behalf of some of the what we call lower class people. Mm-hmm. Education is something that has been far-fetched. They always say it's a D-average.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked a few people the other day, how do you feel about the education system? This is something that we're going to still be crying about. We're going to still hear this all over the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare is something that we're going to still be crying about. We're going to still be hearing about. But are they going to make any changes? Hopefully. Politicians, majority of them, do you see any politicians' kids going to a government school?
No.
Okay. So it makes me to believe that at some point they really don't care to the fact of the education system, because for like I'm saying, this isn't just my era. This mm-hmm. has been era before my era, and this has always been this. Every time you hear the news at the end of the year, they talk about the education system is at a D average.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that you could borrow millions of dollars to fix the road, but you can't borrow millions of dollars to improve the education system or the healthcare?
But they will say, well, I'm just trying to see if I could help you with the arguments they will make. They will say, oh, we gave free tertiary education to any Bahamian who qualified. We reduced the criteria for COB from a 2.5 to a 2.0 because we wanted to help Pookie and Blacks. We know that they were only average students, and so we wanted to give them an opportunity to go to college. What do you say to them when they say that?
I don't think that's going to stand for me. No. Mm. Because of the fact that, okay, you're a governing party, and if your kids go to a foreign school or go to private school where the average guy cannot afford,
mm-hmm.
then what do you tell me if I say that, well, at this school, this is going on, and I think that you guys can give a more better helping hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the issue is that teachers do not have the equipment, or is it the issue that teachers are underpaid? Why is it that you can't rectify this problem by giving the teachers their salary and improving the education system by providing the teachers with more equipped tools to better the education system?
So what about when they say, well, are the parents equally as involved? Are the communities as equally involved as they used to be? The politician will say, I get up and I go to work every day. I'm a policymaker. I'm making policies. You know, if you ask the current minister of education, he will tell you the parents are to blame for their children not getting on the virtual pool. I mean, what do you say to those people?
Well, if that's their fighting argument, then you need to find out as to how these people are situated
mm-hmm.
to determine whether their child can actually do virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has a laptop. I don't even have to go there. Not everybody have internet in their household.
Right.
And then for you to buy a data plan just for your child to go online, that ain't gonna last.
But is it the responsibility of the government?
No, it's not. And I'm not gonna sit here and say that it is the responsibility of the government, but at some point they could assist to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like I say, a lot of things go on and we play a blind eye to it.
Mm.
When I say I solemnly say this to the Bahamians, we really need to wake the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of stuff that's going on that we sit back and allow to happen, and then when these government people come into power, we allow them to get there. We are the ones that put them there. Mm-hmm. And then we want to sit back and cry. Mm-hmm. Don't cry when it's too late. When you vote for these people, these politicians and these candidates now, make sure that you vote for somebody who is sincere, who mm-hmm. has a heart, and like the great minister would say, compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So education is important to you. Compassionate leadership is important to you.
Yes, it is.
What I don't know. You think you have five things? What are the? So those are two of five. What are the other three?
Well, like I said, with the medical field, you know, I hear the nurses crying, the doctors crying, some of them even wanting to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it saddens me to see these things due to the fact that, prime example,
mm-hmm.
you know, you had an issue where you had two police officers that apprehended a gentleman on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever odd reason, I just saw a video of it or whatever. Didn't know the situation, but they were rewarded, what, somewhere about $1,000 or what have you
mm-hmm.
for apprehending this gentleman. I don't want to quote the advisor.
Yeah, they were given $1,000.
All right. And it was so easy for you to give them this money. But the people at the hospital, the nurses, are crying for their pay and their back pay. And I honestly feel that gentleman that apprehended the gentleman, he probably was on his regular shift, his regular whatever, 8 hours or 10 hours.
Well, they said he went beyond the call of duty, so he probably was off. He's probably just a concealed carrying weapon police.
Well, that's fine. But at the end of the day, his job as a police officer is to serve and protect. And I commend them for their job well done without having it to be where it got to a violent state, mm-hmm. anyone being shot. Mm-hmm. But back to what I was saying is that the nurses are on the front line. They're putting their life at risk, and they're putting their family life at risk because they're going to this hospital with the COVID and what have you. Mm-hmm. You don't know if they're carrying it back home to their family, endangering their family's lives. So why is it that you're hesitating to pay these people who are working around the clock, around the clock, around the clock?
They would say there's no money.
But you could find money to give these fellas $1,000 for years.
The commissioner of police gave them that out of the commissioner's fines fund. Oh, and wow. I mean, these are the arguments they will have. I'm playing devil's advocate here because they will, for every problem you have, they will give you a reason as to why you have that problem. That's not them. So when they say to you, well, the commissioner of police gave them that money out of his fines fund or wherever he got it from, he might have gave it to them out of his pocket. Who knows? What do you say then?
If you could make a small donation like that, then you hear the cries of other people. If your heart is such pure, why don't you make a small donation again to help other people?
Hmm. Hmm. My producers tell me we got to take some calls. Let's take a couple of calls. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Mr. Miller.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning to your guest.
Good morning, sir. It's
making a lot of sense. Now, Mr. Miller, your opening remarks was pretty much on cue. The three things I would like to say that take priority for me as a voter tomorrow. Number one, whoever is elected, the first thing I want to see done is we find a way to deal with that hospital. Health, the economy, then education, in that order for me.
Mm-hmm.
Health, economy, education. Mm-hmm. And education will never take a backseat, but on because of the nature and the condition we're in with this pandemic, health is the number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
Our economy, because we have borrowed some $2.7 billion in less than 2 years,
mm-hmm.
that is a major concern with a national debt of some $10 billion. So to me, health, economy, and education.
That's
and
your three.
Your guess is sitting on all cylinders. I wouldn't say anything, Freddie. He has made some compelling argument for the nurses who are on the front line,
mm-hmm.
of those who have given their lives just like you have. In this case, I'll add the police and also custom immigration and the prison. You know, these people is at front line. They haven't been compensated for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
They have done us proud because they had to be the one at the front line. They had to intercept. They had to do, in the line of duty. And sometimes it is, we just, and in all cases, you may not be able to give them monetary. For instance, you could say, well, you know, in lieu of this, we don't have the money, but we're going to give every single one of y'all an extra month vacation because you all deserve it.
Yes, something of that sort. At least something makes me want to come to work tomorrow.
Hmm. Well,
you follow me?
Yep. Appreciate it, caller. 323-623-2354-316-325-4259. You say I say it too fast, I'll say it again. 323-623-2354-316-325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller there? Not there. Let's take another one. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Levi.
Hey, what's up?
I'm your guest.
Good morning, sir.
Levi,
mm-hmm.
you're just a couple of free like me. You see all this rain? You know what rain brings out?
It raining out there?
No. All this rain in May.
Oh.
This one, it's dark.
Mm.
The rain, bigger the black crab. Tomorrow, black crabs don't walk. You've never seen them walk in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Take my words on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said you were Tanya F&M.
I'm an eye for Tanya F&M, yes.
I'm going to be 40. You wonder why you vote for her in the first place. you would be F&M world.
Mm.
You're too dark.
Mm-hmm.
You would have been up school.
But she was dark.
You think you're smart.
She was dark.
The time is you be 40. You wonder why you vote for the F&M. Mm. Why?
All right, Robert, appreciate you.
In that world, you don't talk. Let's say, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Rodney becomes a senator, Sam own likes the F&M sort of got niggas in the twist.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't smart. He ain't been up to school. You can see the difference. Listen, like, I pray by the next day, the stars be a doc in the hospital, saving four people's lives in Pittsburgh Hospital with his daddy. Spent all the money on him to go up to school. good prime minister, be a good doctor. He forces his daddy plenty money. A PLP store with daddy who made plenty money under the PLP. UBP had no water parts or buds or bother signs because he was a black man.
Appreciate it.
You're going to feel what's going on in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
This country was run by us, for us, black, mostly the black Negroes, or some of the light-skinned Negroes think they're smarter.
All right, Robert, appreciate you. Let's go to the break, Kermit. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Those are the numbers you can call me on when I get back. You can text me 422-4796. Wait until the break. Don't move. I'll be back.
All my party has offended you. I apologize. I apologize on behalf of myself and on behalf of my party.
It's too late to apologize.
This message.
This has been a paid political announcement by the independent candidate for Pine Ridge.
The national elections are upon us. Our choices, our issues, our decisions, our vote. There is one place where you'll hear independent analysis, informed projections, and meaningful insight on Election Day. The Hour News and Nassau Guardian teams will bring all this as our nation votes with live returns from every constituency. Watch Hour TV, cable channel 212, and listen on Guardian Radio and Star 106 Hits on Thursday, September 16th, with coverage starting at 6 p.m. Our vote on the Hour TV and Guardian networks.
Hello, Bahamas. My name is Dr. Dwayne Sands. I was born and raised in Centerville, in the heart of the valley, Nassau, Bahamas. I'm a proud Bahamian. I've been fortunate to represent the great people of Elizabeth for the last 5 years. It has always been my dream to serve my country, and I have been involved in the political process on the front line since 2009. I am very, very proud of the support of my family, who have been with me from the beginning and who are still with me to this day. In particular, my wife, Larika, and all of my children. And actually, there's quite a few of them. I'm actually a cardiovascular surgeon. What that means is I take on the sickest people with the biggest problems every day. And so for me, the political process to deal with the challenges facing our country is pretty much par for the course. It's what I do every day. I am happy to be a part of the great team of the Free National Movement under the leadership of Dr. Hubert Minnis. We are indeed Elizabeth Strong.
This has been a paid political announcement by the FNM candidate for Elizabeth.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be
change. Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. It's Levin Miller. I'm in studio with Chili. He's my guest today. I'm talking to Joe Public today. Every time we get on the radio, we like to talk to the accountant and to the doctor and to the political analyst, and we like to talk to the social commentator, and we like to talk to the all kind of people, the pastor and everybody, the psychologist. I want to talk to the ghetto youth today, and that's who I feel it usually boils back down to, you know. And let me make sure, because I see y'all out there turning y'all nose up and tightening y'all eyebrows, because y'all like to play like all our saying ghetto youth. I don't care how far in the West you move.
Exactly.
We are all variations of East Street. If you ain't grow up on East Street, your ma grow up there. And if your ma ain't grow up there, her ma grow up there. And if her ma ain't grow up there, that's probably because her pa grow up there. You and me are equal. And depending on how good you live in the ghetto, no matter where you move in the West, you still come back to the ghetto every day. And so that is why you find people like myself, you know, when I leave this place and finish doing all my business, you will find me in the belly of the city, because that is where it happens. And so that's where people like him are from. That's where I'm trying to get the temperature of what those people are looking for. Let me get a couple of these text messages out of the way. I don't want y'all to cuss me. When the PLP lose and they part company with Brave as leader, you think they will go with Chester and Glennis, or Chester and Alfred says, no matter who win the election, the Bahamian people lose because VAT going up ashore as fried chicken is like cocaine to black people. I don't know. The PLP has agreed to take VAT down to 10%. I still don't think that's a good idea. None of them have asked me why, so I guess they don't care. But, you know, this one says, let this election be a turning point in Bahamian politics, policies, and vote for real people towards a real future. Coalition for Independence. How do you feel about the Coalition of Independence, Jilly? The $100,000, the 1 acre land, the free light bill. I mean, the only thing they ain't want to do is come to Asia.
I mean,
if they keep that up.
You're talking something as if you're trying to sell me a dream. You're talking something that could be come to reality. But are you actually going to say these things publicly, and then when you get in power, or if you do get in power, you're going to stand and stick with it?
How long will it take for me to be able to go and pick up my first 100,000? Now, hold on.
Hello.
Hold on. Now, I tell you, I like to talk about the ghetto youth struggle. Now, if me and my good wife have all my children in one house, then the whole 500,000 could come in there. But what if, right, mm-hmm. I got six children and they with six women. All my children is Bahamian. Mm-hmm. Where they 100,000 going? Because I think they mommy should get it. I feel like I should have the 100,000 as the daddy. Right? And you can't say they ain't Bahamians. They are Bahamians. Right. Yeah. And you say every Bahamian. So for all six of my children, I would prefer that I collect the $100,000 and not their mommy, because I feel like she born with the winning ticket. She don't need the $100,000. I need it, right?
The minute you get the $100,000, she can put you in God.
Okay, so now, are we going to give the... At what age do you get the $100,000? What if I have a... What if I won't keep my job? Can I keep my job and still get the $100,000?
There's going to be a lot of criteria behind that and some stipulations, so... The kinks, what they gonna work out, mm-hmm. is what we need to figure out first as to how, the when, and how they gonna go about the whole situation. It's like I said, it sounds very interesting. It sounds, it really could drive you in the direction, but don't say it, but don't bring it.
And then what if I got LaPierre so off hands, right? She live with me, right? Like, can I get a stipend real to 100,000? I just trying to figure out, you understand this increment? I just don't feel like we should just be, you know, letting people walk off with my $100,000 like that. You say you're considering not voting, though.
Well,
why?
To be honest, like I said, I'm considering not voting. Mm-hmm. I'm considering not voting due to the fact that for too much years I've been seeing the same thing happening over.
Which constituency are you in?
I'm in Tall Pines.
Tall Pines.
And I will tell this to the FNM leader that won a seat the last time. My brother, you only win because our PLP candidate that was in our area who was the leader, is because of the party that he loses a seat.
You mean Leslie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He would not lose a seat if he was if the party itself and some of his colleagues were not doing what they were doing, he mm-hmm. would have still been in a seat. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that, and I speak to a lot of people in my constituency who mm-hmm. somewhat regretted.
He was a casualty of war.
Exactly. And some of the people in my constituency regret up to this day that we went against him. Mm-hmm. But like I say, it wasn't necessarily because of him as an individual. It's because of the party that he was involved in.
So you don't think Dawn Sanders will win again?
I don't want to say he ain't going to win, but boy,
you ain't going to help him.
No, it ain't going to be me. And I hate to say it because, to be honest, he came to my house one day, and I could be honest with you, I was outside.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he came to me, I didn't know who he was. But someone that knew him, who was walking with him, knew me. And it's like, you know, well, actually, you know, it's time for change. Give the man a chance or whatever. And to be honest with you, I'm 38. And that's the first time I ever vote, and I voted for him.
Mm-hmm. Not impressed by it after that?
Not impressed at all. Number change. You can't see the man.
He says he fixed the dump.
Yeah, well, that's the dump. Don't fix the dump. Fix where I live. Fix the area where I live and the issues we have going around with me. My road where I live is...
Three quarters of the way flood, I know.
Okay, you know where I live.
Yeah, you need a jet ski to get in there. Yeah.
You could actually ride a jet ski in that.
You need a jet ski to get in there, yeah.
No, so my thing is, like I said, I'm going to say this to the young people of the 242. Listen to me carefully. Wake up, please. Wake up. It's time for change. You can't follow your Grammy footsteps. You got to start thinking for yourself. You know why? Your Grammy has their pension. It has their house that already built. You as an individual now, you're going to be looking for a family. You're going to be looking for your own home. Don't vote these people in, because now they are coming around and they are giving you a party. Mm. It's like a fashion show. We parading and we having a good time. When the party is over, when the good time is over and these MPs and candidates are in their seats and they're gone, you have to go back home to the struggle. You have to go back home to your heartaches and whatever going on in your household. Your cupboard empty or whatever, it full, whatever. But these people are people that are coming in. When I listened the other day about how much these MPs are worth, their network.
Mm-hmm. $53 million.
It really amazes me. Why would you want to, you worth $53 million, why would you want to get a job that's only paying you but $4,000 a month or whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
What the average
MP? $28,000 is MP salary. $65,000 is, yeah, but you see, they do this funny thing where they break it up.
Okay, and they have stipends.
So they pay you like you have three different people, but okay, all the salary, all the money.
At the end of the day, mm-hmm, if your network is them millions of dollars,
mm-hmm,
the salary what you getting, that ain't nothing to you. To me personally, that ain't nothing to you. That's probably like, okay, you know what, I can use this.
Kong for the money.
Like, we can go on this. We can go on by fish fry.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder, like, what you really coming into this for? They made Markery the guy that has, what, has $60 in his bank account.
Yeah.
I rather trust that man with $60 because he probably know what it means to be break.
$60 means you don't have a good land belt. I don't
know. I understand that too, but I still probably would trust him because he know what it means to eat corned beef and rice and not always eating steak and lobster.
Yeah, we out of time. I got to go. Let's get out of here. Chili, thank you for joining me. Tomorrow is D-Day. All I can tell you is go and vote. I got to know to vote. That's better the school keep or the scholars attend. I can't think about what else I would be doing on election day other than voting. So I got. I can stand up on the line. Who knows? I may just mark one big X across the whole paper, but at least I mark in an X, all right? Anyway, that's my time. I'm out of here. Levin Miller, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Don't move.
Dear Fort Charlotte, tomorrow as you go to the polls, I urge you to adhere to the COVID-19 protocols to ensure everyone's safety. I also urge you to follow the electoral protocols. Mark your X clearly within the lines for the candidate of your choice and make no other marks on your ballot. We are at a pivotal turning point in our country. Our actions tomorrow will determine the trajectory of our tomorrow. For this reason, it is ever so important that you exercise your democratic right to vote. Fort Charlotte, let's continue what we have started together and transform our community. We are the revolution, so let us be the change we wish to see. Let's do this one for country. May God's grace be with Fort Charlotte, and God bless the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.